Good day, and welcome to the Barratt Developments July Trading Update conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to CEO David Thomas. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for dialing in. As you know, today we've issued our trading update for the year ending 30th of June. As usual, I have Jessica here with me. I think when you look at the trading results, you can see that it's been a very strong year of performance, both operationally and also financially. We've driven a modest volume increase, significant profit improvements, and we have an ongoing focus on quality and service. In June, our sites were awarded 83 NHBC Pride in the Job Awards, more than any other house builder for the 14th year in a row. In March, we received our 5-star HBF customer recommend rating for the 9th consecutive year. We believe that our home quality and customer service is second to none, and it is becoming an increasingly important feature of the market. If we look at the headline numbers, our profit before tax is at record levels, up 9%, and expected to be around £835 million. Our net cash position at the 30th of June has increased to around £790 million. Our total forward order book is up 4%, with over 10,000 plots at nearly £2.2 billion. So to move on and give a little more colour on the numbers, in terms of the backdrop, the mortgage market has remained very positive. Consumer demand has remained strong throughout the financial year, and we have seen an increase in completions to nearly 17,600. Our net private sales rate per active outlet for the year was in line with the strong comparative from the previous year at 0.72. Our average selling price on total completions was up by 5% to almost 290,000. Our private average selling price was up over 5% to nearly 330,000. This increase was a combination of mix and some house price inflation. Land market conditions in the year have remained attractive, and we identified excellent opportunities that all exceed our hurdle rates. We approved for purchase almost 21,000 plots of operational land in the year. As guided in February, we have reduced our land creditor position to 34% of the land bank, which is in line with our operating framework. Our net cash balance of around £790 million is ahead of guidance, reflecting a strong end to the year with better than expected Central London trading. Since our May update, we have completed on 190 private, wholly owned Central London units, and we have just 145 units remaining. This is down from 395 at the half year, and we now have just 68 wholly owned units in central London that are not currently reserved. The regional business performed particularly well over the year, and we have delivered incremental margin improvement. We continue to focus on improving our group operating margin, and the ongoing rollout of our new house types will increasingly benefit margin going forward. We remain committed to our capital return policy, and will announce in September the proposed full-year ordinary dividend based on 2.5 times dividend cover. The board also proposes to pay special dividends of £175 million in November 18 and 19. We will be reporting again in September where we will update on current trading, guidance for full year 2019, and our medium-term outlook. Thank you, and we will now be happy to take questions.
Thank you, sir. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We will now take our first question from Chris Millington from Numis. Please go ahead.
Morning, David, Jessica, Chloe. A couple for me. I mean, firstly, there's obviously been a lot of debate about underlying pricing versus cost, and I just wonder if you could just elaborate on that for me. And then secondly, I just wanted to ask a couple of questions around London and that performance you've shown since May, and, you know, whether or not that's you kind of going a bit more aggressive on discounting, or there has been some underlying improvement in London to allow you to do that. And perhaps you could maybe just go on just to say, you know, approximately how much of a drag to margins London has been during the course of this year and you disposing of some of that higher-end stock.
Good morning, Chris. Hi. Okay, well, if I sort of try to just pick those up, I mean, I think, first of all, in terms of pricing and cost, so, you know, we've seen clearly more muted house price inflation, and it varies around the country, but in overall terms, clearly low single digit, you know, somewhere in the order of probably 2-3% in terms of HPI. And our guidance on costs remains that we anticipate cost inflation being in the region of 3-4%. So Jessica and Stephen updated on that in February at the half year. We don't see any major changes in terms of cost inflation, but we'll update again on that in September. In terms of London, I mean, certainly from our perspective, it's not about adjusting prices. I mean, we've said previously that we adjusted prices in late 16, early 17. I think it's very much more that, you know, maybe we were slightly conservative in terms of what we could clear for June 18. This is only about central London. And as you know, Chris, we've not bought any sites in central London since 2014. So we were saying that we were confident that our wholly owned business would no longer operate in central London by the end of 19. And we've clearly had a good sales period and completion period through to June. And we now have 145 units left, of which only 68 are not reserved. So the reality is we're very confident that we'll be through it over the next 12 to 18 months.
And Dave, just on, are you able to mention anything about the margin drag it may have been through the course of this year? I do appreciate it's a trading update, so maybe that's a bit too much detail.
I think Jessica would be delighted to talk about that, Chris.
Well, clearly Central London has remained very much a drag in terms of margin at the half year. I'm not going to give any more further detail in terms of the quantum. When we come back with our full year results in September, we'll set out the margin bridge in a similar format to the one we gave at the half year, which will clearly show the strong performance that has come through our regional business from our margin initiatives, and also will show the impact of Central London.
Okay. All right. Well, many thanks for your help.
Not at all. Thanks, Chris.
We will now take our next question from Christopher Mantle from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi. Yeah. Good morning. Can I just ask a little bit about the order book, where I think the numbers you've given the order book implies a decline in ASP, and I'm assuming that's as a result of you trading out of your London inventory. Can you just talk about, just to follow up really, just to talk about the margin differential between your London and non-London business, if indeed there is one? And then the second question, you've obviously delivered that clear beat on net debt. Can you just talk about some of the drivers for that beat and what we should be thinking in terms of net debt you know, going forward, perhaps for next year, should we assume that that number moderates, or are you continuing to expect to hold that level of cash on the balance sheet?
Chris, hi, good morning. I mean, if I pick up in terms of the forward order book and sort of ASPs in terms of London and non-London, then Jessica will cover in terms of cash and the net debt position. So, I mean, I think in terms of the forward order book, we will also break down in the appendix to the release the private and separate out the joint venture. So when you look at the private forward order book, there is no doubt that year on year, there is less London in the private forward order book, because clearly the central London business is obviously on a relatively small scale now. And that will flow through in terms of ASPs as we look at FY19 and FY20. And we still clearly have this 145 units to deliver, and that will be delivered during FY19, possibly running into the first half of 20, but most likely in FY19. But ASP, therefore, will be reducing as that mix alters in terms of the geographic mix. In terms of London and land acquisition and intake margin, I mean, broadly, there is no difference. So if we're out buying a site in Zone 3 just now, we'd be very confident that we're buying that site on very similar terms to if we were buying a site in Manchester or we were buying a site in Guildford. We tend to attribute a little bit more risk premium to London, but that has tended to be attributed to sites that are more high-rise in nature, which clearly isn't necessarily the case in Zone 3 to Zone 6. So when you look at the sort of sites that we've got coming through in 3 to 6, we've got large sites typically, so 1,200 units coming through at Hayes, which was the old Nestle factory, 700 units coming through in Hounslow, up to 1,500 units coming through in Harrow. So as examples of big sites, these are sites that will come through with strong margin. I think as Jessica outlined in February, the London margin has been substantially diluted, you know, both at a gross level and an operating level, as we've traded out of central London. So as we move through 19, and into 20, that should be behind us.
In terms of net cash, Chris, when we set out the guidance back in May, we set it out at about $550 million, and we were a little bit conservative in that guidance. Now we have delivered a much stronger performance in terms of central London. So we've delivered around 70 more units in terms of our sites at Lombard, Blackfriars and Landmark Place, which has given us around $80 million more cash at the full-year position. We've also spent about £60 million less on land, simply because of the timing of land deals. Land deals, by their very nature, as you know, don't always exactly land when you expect them to do, and those deals have slipped over the year end. And the balance of the improvement is purely down to the working capital movement. Looking at net cash going forward, clearly you also need to look at the land creditors position. We have reduced our land creditors position at June to 34%, so clearly within our operating framework. And the net cash position for FY19 will likely be slightly lower because the land credit position we would expect to be slightly lower as well. So it's clearly a balance of just the two items.
Thank you.
Good, thanks.
We will now take our next question from Clyde Lewis from Peel Hunt. Please go ahead.
Morning, David. Morning, Jessica. Morning, Chloe. A couple, if I may. One on land prices. David, can you just sort of give us a little bit of an update as to what you're seeing? I mean, you talked about it again, still plenty out there, still beating your hurdle rates. I must admit, I'm still surprised you haven't increased your hurdle rates to make it a little bit tougher for the guys to sort of maybe sort of sift through the opportunities a little bit more. But could say a little bit about that regionally, see where the better opportunities are, and, you know, are you actually now starting to look at some central London sites? Have prices there come back enough to justify you starting to look, even if it's a little bit early on that front? And the other one I had was on, I suppose, Help to Buy, and one for Jessica probably in terms of average debt. Can you maybe just give us an idea of where the average debt number was for last year, and what the Help to Buy usage was for the group as a whole?
Okay, Clyde, hi, good morning. If I cover on land, and then Jessica will talk about average debt and just give some flavour in terms of Help to Buy. So in terms of land, I mean, the first thing is that we have our published hurdle rates. We've had published hurdle rates in place now since 2010. So 20% gross margin, 25% return on capital. But I think when we have talked about our land acquisition, you know, we've said previously that we absolutely have been pushing the hurdle rates internally. And I think it's right that, you know, we keep pushing the hurdle rates internally and make sure that we're buying land at higher margins. But, you know, I think we still stick to our kind of over the cycle, for want of a better term, you know, 20% gross, 25% return on capital. So we're very confident, and have been over the last couple of years, that everything we're buying is above the hurdle rates, and hence why we have confidence that we'll deliver higher margin. I think when you look at the market, there is a lot of land out there. I mean, clearly as a byproduct of the planning policy framework, around the country, there is a lot of land coming through planning, and you can see that in the planning stats and see that in the land that the land intermediaries or the land traders are holding. So generally, very positive backdrop. I think we recognise that there are parts of the country where buying land is more challenging. So I won't run through them all, you'll be pleased to know. But, you know, I think 3-6 in London, there are definitely challenges around buying land in 3-6 in London. And, you know, we made a decision, certainly going back a couple of years ago, that we needed to go fairly large to make sure that there was limited numbers of bidders, and therefore our profile out in 3-6 has probably tended to be up at 500 plus units for a number of the sites. You know, around York, for example, I think the land market around York is a challenging market. Around Edinburgh is a challenging market. But as a generalisation, I would say it's a strong market for the house builders to be buying in, and we as a business are seeing improving intake margins.
Just picking up in terms of...
Sorry,
go ahead.
So, David, in terms of central London, any sites in zones 1 or 2 that are starting to look a little bit more interesting? I mean, I know you've obviously got nothing in the pipeline, you know, beyond 2019 at the moment, but anything starting to sort of appeal at all?
No. I mean, our land teams are just not looking at proposals in central London. So I think we've got plenty of stuff for the land team to look at in 3-6, and we've no plans to go back into central London at this time.
Okay.
So just picking up in terms of the Help to Buy usage, we've seen very similar levels of usage throughout FY18 to that we saw in FY17. So around 35% of our total completions, or just over 40% of private completions, are using Help to Buy. In terms of average cash, we ran with an average cash position for the year of around 100 million. So that was slightly better than we were expected, but again, our working capital flow has been better than we expected, which is good.
Yeah, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Clyde.
We will now take our next question from Gregor Kuglitsch from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Can I just come back to the dividend point? Obviously, you're doing better on cash. I appreciate this phasing and so on. But
just remind us at what point do you look at your cash balance and potentially review, I suppose, the special dividend policy, I guess, the regular payments or kind of obviously a payout ratio. So that's question number one. And then the second question is, I suppose, a little bit on politics and Help to Buy. Can you give us a view or your view of how you think and when do you think we'll hear more on Help to Buy? Obviously, there's been another change in housing minister this week. And any thoughts would be helpful. Thanks.
Okay, Gregor, hi, good morning. I mean, in terms of dividend policy, I mean, I think the reality is that, you know, we have iterated our dividend policy probably more than most if you look over the last few years. So we've changed the cover ratio on the ordinary dividend, commencing originally on a 6x cover and moving down gradually to 3x cover and then to 2.5x cover. So I think the ordinary dividend ratio at 2.5x cover is one that we're very happy with. We see that as being a sort of long-term sustainable position. In terms of the special dividend, I mean, we looked at that relatively recently. So we went back in February and said that we would set out a special dividend for November 18 and November 19. So you know, that is continually discussed at board level, and we'll come back to that again in September. What one point that I would just add, just to emphasise the point that Jessica made, is that we clearly see that buying land is attractive, and therefore we want to use cash to buy land within reason, because we recognise that we can't build all the houses that we might want to build. Skills are a real challenge, so there is some constraint. The other thing we want to make sure that we're doing is managing the land creditor position, and we're currently on an operating framework that land creditors will be between 30 and 35%. We're currently at 34%. So we would expect to trend land creditors down a bit in terms of the utilization of cash. In terms of the Help to Buy position, so we think that when you look at Help to Buy, all of the ambition that the government had when they announced the shared equity Help to Buy program back in 2013 has clearly flowed very, very well through that scheme. I mean, it's been an enormously successful program. It's clearly stimulated a lot of consumer demand, and it has resulted in a lot of incremental additions in terms of the housing stock. So I think from that point of view, government would say that it has been a very successful program. I mean, on the positive, the program has 3 more years to run in the way that it is presently outlined. And I think for any business, 3 years is pretty good visibility. But we know that the government have it high on their agenda in terms of what will happen beyond 2021. So the London School of Economics study has been delivered and completed and delivered. As everyone is aware, there has been a change of Secretary of State and more recently, clearly, a change of Housing Minister. But we would expect that the Secretary of State will be looking at something in the second half of the year. I think the Letwin review sitting alongside that makes sense. I mean, it seems sensible that having commissioned the Letwin review, that the government complete that review, which is scheduled for September, but before further announcements are made regarding the government's intention in terms of consumer products such as Help to Buy.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Gregor.
We will now take our next question from John Bell from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Good morning, David. Morning, Jessica. I think I've got two. The first one is, I wonder whether you could give us the land creditor number in absolute terms. I know you've helped us out quite a bit, but maybe you can go the extra mile there. And secondly, was there anything in the Letwin review that you fundamentally disagreed with? Thank you.
Okay, if I do the Letwin review question, and Jessica can give that land creditor request due consideration. Okay, so just on the Letwin review, I mean, the short answer is no. I mean, I have attended 3 meetings, and Oliver Letwin and his team have been out to visit one of our sites and a number of other sites. And I think that if you look at the findings as published in June and the circa 300 pages of supplementary analysis, I think you can be certain that Oliver Letwin has really done a good job in terms of understanding the dynamics of the industry. So I think when you look at it from a house building perspective, to have a review undertaken that says, you know, we are not land banking, which has clearly been an often put accusation against the industry, and he was absolutely definitive about that point. And to recognise that there are real challenges in terms of our ability to build, and he highlighted, but it wasn't exclusively to do with bricklayers, I think demonstrates that he has absolutely done the job properly rather than just responded to sort of popular criticism. So I would say that overall we were very positive about the review. We recognise that when you look at large sites, and bear in mind that the Letwin review is very much about looking at large sites rather than looking at all sites, so typically sites above 1,000 units, we absolutely recognise that if there is a change in tenure, so for example, more private rental or even more private shared ownership, that will clearly increase demand on the sites and therefore will increase numbers. My view on it would be is that is unlikely to be achieved unless it is set within the planning framework. And that's something that obviously Oliver Letwin and his team will need to give consideration to in terms of their final recommendations. But overall, I saw it as a very positive report.
Good morning. In terms of the land credited number at the 30th of June, it was around £1 billion.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will now take our next question from Alistair Stewart from Stockdale Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Three questions. First of all, we've mentioned changing housing ministers. I've lost count of housing ministers coming and going over the last few years. With an average 6 months tenure, does this actually have any tangible impact on policy implementation? That's the first question. A couple of days ago, I read there's I think the Transport Secretary is asking for house builders to put in charging points in all new houses. Have you costed what that... how much that would be going forward, and do you think it will see the light of day? And finally, with the World Cup upon us, and I'm sure David, as a fellow Scotsman, will be cheering on at least one of the teams tonight, has the World Cup had any effect on site visitors or indeed on build rates? And, you know, if the unthinkable is to happen and England win it, do you think there's going to be a bounce in consumer sentiment?
Alistair, good morning. I think that's yes, that's the best question we've ever had. I will always answer the question about the World Cup, and I'll just pick up the other two as well. So, I mean, just to try and do it justice in a short period, I think you have to put it in context, I think, with the Secretary of State and the Housing Minister, that starting with Sajid Javid as Secretary of State and all the signs to date with James Brokenshire as Secretary of State is that the Secretary of State role is very much hands-on housing. So previously, that was not the case. If you went back to Greg Clark, he wasn't hands-on housing, but his housing minister was very much hands-on housing. So Brandon Lewis, for example.
Yep.
So that, I think, is very, very important. You know, I think you're in a situation where the Prime Minister has said that housing is her number one domestic priority. I think we'd all recognise she has some other challenges, but her number one domestic priority. And therefore, understandably, the Secretary of State is taking that lead and saying, okay, this is the most important issue. So I think, in truth, we've had good continuity in terms of Sajid Javid for a period of time. I think he's had a good handover with James Bokenshire, and James Bokenshire is definitely on the case and is addressing issues around the industry. In terms of the changes of Housing Minister, I mean, I don't think any of it is by design. I think there's various reasons, people being moved on, being promoted into different positions, and so on. But nonetheless, I think that the principal lead is coming from the Secretary of State, who is absolutely driving policy. And whether it be policy around Help to Buy or whether it be policy around other areas such as leasehold, then these are very much being driven by the Secretary of State. In terms of charging points, I mean, again, to be brief, Alistair, but it's a very interesting area. I mean, I think with charging points, I mean, we have a policy within our group. We are already installing charging points. My concern with charging points will be that the sort of policy decisions that will be made will be saying, you know, we need to be installing them on a very high ratio in terms of houses to charging points. And the reality is that we are a long, long way away from requiring charging points on a high ratio. And clearly, post-occupation, the purchaser can install charging points. If somebody's not going to use a charging point, they don't implicitly want to pay for it. So we'll see how that policy develops. But I think when you look at the number of electric cars in the UK and the way that that trend's going to alter over time, that doesn't mean to say we should be installing charging points on everything at present. The World Cup, Jessica's absolutely bursting to answer the question on the World Cup, but first of all, I want to set aside any suggestion that I would be supporting anyone other than England. Obviously, unless they were playing golf.
Likewise with me.
Yeah, exactly. I'm clearly supporting England. But, actually, before the World Cup, we looked at the fixture days. I mean, the fixture timings can be an issue. And there's no question that when England played and won on the Sunday, we had a much reduced turnout amongst the subcontractors on the Monday. just a question of fact, you know, a much reduced turnout on the Monday. So, no, I think the impact in terms of either sales or build has been very muted. I absolutely hope that England win the World Cup. I'll be cheering them on this evening. I think, if nothing else, it allows us all to forget about Brexit. And if we win the World Cup, there will be a huge boom in people wanting to buy new houses to celebrate.
Hope so. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you.
There appears to be no further questions at this time, but as a quick reminder, it's star one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I'd like to turn the conference back to yourself, sir, for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you. Okay, so just briefly, thanks for all your questions. And I just underline, we're very pleased. We feel it's been a very strong operational and financial year for the group. We'll obviously update you further in September. And just to close on our World Cup theme, best wishes to everyone who's cheering on England this evening. Thank you.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.